celebrating the holidays with the Taking a Walk podcast, and celebrating our music friends.
Well, Billy Payne, it is so great to be with you, Taking a Walk. How are you, my friend?
You know, I feel good. It's been an intense month or so.
It's the anniversary Waiting for Columbus tour, kinda, sorta, right?
It's 45 years, which is, an interesting, usually you'll wait till 50 years, but I think choosing 45 years is a good thing. I just turned 73 in March. I play like I'm a 20-year-old, but facts are facts.
I love it. I love how you're playing. I love how the band is playing. So when did you first realize that you were hooked on being a musician?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. I'll twist it just a little bit and say that I realized that I was a musician first when my woodshop teacher, Mr. O'Connell, said, "I'll give you a passing grade, Bill, but stay away from the sauce."
An iconic photographer of our time. He didn't just capture the scene, he was part of the scene. Bob Gruen, it's so nice to meet you, Bob.
I'm glad to be here, thank you. I went to the Apollo Theater for a benefit concert, and much to my surprise, John and Yoko were there. I took a couple of pictures when they were on stage, and then they were waiting for their car backstage, and a bunch of people were taking pictures, snapshots, like selfies we call them now. And John at one point said, "People are always taking our picture and we never see it. What happens with these pictures?" And I said, "Well, I live around the corner from you. I'll show you my pictures." And he said, "You live around the corner?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, slip them under the door then." And I thought that was very neighborly, and that was our first conversation, if you call that a conversation. But I went by the house, and I didn't quite slip them under the door. I rang the bell. Much to my surprise, Jerry Rubin answered the door. I didn't know he did that sort of thing. But he asked if they were expecting me, and I said no, and I just left the pictures. And later, when we did get to be friends, Yoko mentioned that they were very aware of that. Like, who was that who didn't want to meet us, who just dropped something off?
Well, Henry Diltz, it's so great to be with you here at Studio City, Taking a Walk.
Yes, down crowded Ventura Boulevard.
That first Crosby, Stills, Nash session, mm-hmm. How did all that come together in that particular iconic album cover? Mm.
Gary Burden, my graphic artist partner, and myself both knew these three guys. We all know each other, especially in L.A. We all hang out at the Troubadour. Everybody knew what was going on. We knew they were recording an album together, and they needed pictures. Nobody had taken any pictures of them, even to announce that they're singing together. So Gary and I said, let's go. Come on, we'll get in this old Ford station wagon, 50-something Ford station wagon, and drive around L.A. looking for little spots to take interesting photos. And we found that little house. Graham had seen that house sometime earlier and said, "I know there's this great little house around here." And we found it, and there was a couch in front of it. They sat there, we took a bunch of pictures, and Gary said the other thing that he said to me. First thing was, just shoot everything that happens, film the cheapest part. Second thing he always said to me was, back up, get the whole house. But Gary saw that whole house was interesting, and he said, back up. I backed up across the street, and then I could see them on the couch at the bottom and the whole house around them. And so that's how that happened. The story with that is that they hadn't even named themselves yet, so when they sat on the couch, randomly, it happened to be Nash, Hills, and Crosby. And then we looked at that in a slideshow a few days later and said, boy, someone said that would be a great album cover, but we're in the wrong order, because now we just decided to be Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That rolls off the tongue, right? So I said, no problem, let's just go back there. How long would it take for you to jump on the couch in the right order? I'll go click, click, click. We'll have the same shot in the right order. And so we did. A few days later, got in Gary's Ford station wagon, drove back, and the house wasn't there. It was an empty lot. It was a bunch of sticks in the back of the lot. They bulldozed the whole thing down and made a parking lot out of it. So they're sitting in the wrong order and on that cover.
L.A.-based singer-songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and producer Grace Gosted
Thank you so much for having me. This is like the most unique, probably, interview podcast experience I've ever had.
Take us back to the earliest point you could remember where you knew, and I've heard you in other interviews describe this, that you were going to be a musician.
Gosh, well, you know, there's two points really that I speak about quite a bit, but I think that the biggest one for me, I was riding in the car with my dad, and I heard Just Dance for the first time by Lady Gaga, and sort of, you know, this was in that same time period where I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry came out, and I was just getting exposure to, like, these big pop sounds, these big pop musicians. And I just remember hearing that song, and I listened to it 400 more times, and I announced to my parents that that's what I was going to do one day. I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be a pop star. And they were like, okay, you know, sure.
Danny Fields, it's so nice to be taking a walk with you in the lovely West Village.
Yeah, this used to be a little more racy and avant-garde and experimental and young and gay and old and eccentric. This was a famous liquor store. Okay. Oh, a little Reed. Wait, this is the best part. The CEO of the Red Bricks?
Yep.
He lived in that apartment.
Oh, he did? Oh, wow.
And one night after his concert, the bottom line, he brought home the tape of the concert. I loved him very much, and I'm not saying anything derogatory about Lucas. I never would, and I loved him very much. And he was a sweet guy. We put the tape on. The shows were over. It's like 1 or 2 in the morning. And you'd come by here, the windows were open. I swear the speakers were pointed out. Lou was listening to his performance earlier that night, and so was everybody else within a square mile.
And I'm taking a walk with Jorma Kaukonen.
Well, you touched on teaching, and you've been a teacher, really, since the beginning of your career, really, right?
Absolutely. So I moved to California in 1962, and I'd been playing the guitar for a while by that time, but just hanging out, and, you know, I was going to the University of Santa Clara at the time, and I'd already become friends with Paul Kantor, who got me in the Jefferson Airplane, which is another story, but I was just, you know, I played at open mics and stuff all the time, but you never got paid. And I remember Paul said, did you ever think about teaching? And I went, no, what would I teach? And he said, how about what you know? And I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. So he got me into this little music store in San Jose at Stevens Creek Boulevard. And I started teaching, and I taught well into the first year the Airplane was together.
And you really took to it.
I really enjoyed the process, yes.
But was it really like seeing, you know, the glow in somebody's eyes when they really connected with something that you were sharing?
Absolutely, you know. Yeah, it wasn't just, you know, showing up and teaching some poor hapless kid who really didn't want to take piano lessons, you know, because everybody really wanted to learn. But, yeah, seeing people get it, it's still exciting.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.